Amen. Now I would like you to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah for our Bible reading for the study of God's Word today. We're turning to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, and we'll commence reading at verse 7. Nehemiah, chapter 4, commencing to read at verse 7. If you have found your place, let's read the Word of God together. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. Amen. We'll end our reading here at verse 15. And we know that the Lord will bless this, the public reading again of his own holy and precious word. Today I'd like to speak to you from this passage of scripture on dealing with discouragement. I believe there are many Christians today and they're facing this great scourge of discouragement, so much so that they feel like giving up in their profession and in their pressing on with the Lord. It's not new, brethren and sisters. Many of the Lord's people who have gone before us have known what such discouragement is. And I think Nehemiah chapter 3 is a prime example. Before we come to consider its truths, let's unite our hearts again in prayer and let us ask the Lord's help and the Lord's enablement. Let us all pray, please. Our eternal God and loving Father, we thank Thee this Lord's Day, even by the means of the internet, for the wonderful privilege that is afforded to us of sharing with others of like precious faith the truths of God's holy word. And I pray that Thou wilt send the Spirit of God upon these lips of clay today, that Thou wilt fill this heart of mine with the Holy Ghost, and enable me to bring forth that word that Thou hast given today. And may it be a word of encouragement to those that are discouraged, a word that will help those who know Thee to press on, even up the hill of difficulty, and to go through and to go forward with God. Hear us now, we do beseech Thee, and sanctify, we ask of Thee, these moments around God's word to our hearts and lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In these opening verses of Nehemiah chapter 4, We find that the people had to deal with the problem of criticism. They had to face up to the ridicule of the enemies of the people of God, those that watched the wall being built, Sambalat and his allies. And they were scathing of their efforts to rebuild the ancient walls of Jerusalem. They were mocked, they were criticized, and their efforts drew the cutting sarcasms and disparaging remarks of those who wished to stop them in their work for the Lord. But how did they answer criticism? Well, they resolved to answer criticism with determined and steadfast resolve, just continuing in their work for the Lord. Don't stop doing what you're doing because someone criticizes how you do it. And their efforts were well rewarded because they were able to complete half the task in a very surprising short period of time. Now we know the whole task was completed in 52 days, chapter 6 and verse 15. So if this was the halfway point approximately, the job would have been only about 1 month down the line. Now even by modern day standards, this would have been a remarkable achievement. And the Bible tells us in verse 6, it is surprising what can be done when the people have a mind to work. This was not some narrow little wall. It is estimated it was about 8 foot in width. And so it was no mean task for them to get this wall up halfway in approximately 1 month. Now you can't be sure that when God's people have a mind to work, that the devil has a mind to wreck. And it's always the plan and the purpose of the devil not only to stop you doing the work of God, but to wreck the work of God that you're doing. And if he cannot achieve his objective by criticism, he will try to achieve it by discouragement. So a conspiracy was hatched amongst the enemies of the Jews to physically and militarily attack what they were doing on the walls of Jerusalem. And we read of that plan in verse 8. They conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder us. To hinder us. The devil today wants to hinder you and I in the work of God. And we read here that verbal abuse soon manifested and developed into military action. And the plan was to attack Jerusalem from every quarter. Sambalat and the Samaritans were to attack from the north quarter. Tobiah and the Ammonites from the east quarter. Geshem and the Arabs from the south quarter. And the Ashdodites from the west. So the pressure within the city was mounting. And the people knew that the enemies were liable to attack at any time. An unease set in, and the people felt unnerved, and discouragement soon took root within the hearts and lives of the people. And as we read down Nehemiah chapter 4, I think this should send alarm bells ringing in all of our ears today. Inward discouragement, brethren and sisters, can be a very real and lethal weapon in the hands of the devil. You and I can become so preoccupied, just like those enemies coming from all quarters around the walls of Jerusalem, that it creeps up on us unawares, and then suddenly it attacks and danger looms and we become discouraged and downcast. And maybe I'm speaking exactly to your situation today. You're under immense pressure. Perhaps it's at home, trying to homeschool children, which should be in their day school. Perhaps it's in your business. Maybe it has been shut down due to the restrictions that have been imposed right across our land. Maybe it's discouragement that you are no longer even able at present time to come to the collective worship of the people of God. And you feel discouraged. You feel downcast. I think this is a very real affliction in these days that we live in. And COVID-19 has certainly exasperated and exaggerated that spirit of discouragement that many Christians feel from time to time. We all need to learn how to cope with discouragement, even as Nehemiah and his people were taught so to do. Here they were surrounded by the enemy. Here they were with a task that was only half done. They had every right to be discouraged. But Nehemiah marshaled his forces. And in these verses, he teaches us how to cope with discouragement in days of great discouragement. And I pray as we go down these verses today and as we consider the lessons, that God will encourage each one of us how to press on with the Lord in the battle and how to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Now I want you to notice first of all that discouragement can affect even the most courageous. Don't think it's just the weak. Don't think that it's just those that are of a less mature mind that can be discouraged. Not a bit of it. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. We read that Judah said, and that's significant, that Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. What a statement. We are not able to build the wall. The significance of the tribe of Judah saying this, feeling the heat and the burden of the day, I don't think it can be underestimated. We read of Judah and of Israel's blessing bestowed upon him in Genesis 49, verse 8 to 10. It said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It was prophesied by old dying Jacob in verse 8 that Judah was going to be one of the main leaders amongst the future tribes of Israel. He was the one whom the other clans would praise and would look for leadership in their lives. They would bow before him. They would acknowledge his rule and his right to lead. In verse 9 of Genesis chapter 49, he's described as a lion. He's brave and he's bold. And no one dared to underestimate Judah. No one dared even to provoke him. He was not to be roused. He had might in his hand. And then in verse 10, it was also prophesied that from the tribe of Judah would spring forth the long and waited Messiah, because from Judah Shiloh would come. The Savior was going to come from the earthly seed of this mighty tribe of the tribes of Israel. And now in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10, we read that Judah the lion had lost its courage. And Judah, who was most courageous in normal times, had become timid and afraid. And the contrast between chapter 49 of the book of Genesis and Nehemiah chapter 4 could not have been greater. The pressures had built from within. The work was so immense. The pressures had built from without, because the enemies were gathering, circling round the city of Jerusalem, ready to pounce at any time. From within, from without, the pressures had grown so much that the men of Judah exclaimed to Nehemiah, "We are not able to build the wall." The debris and the removal of the rubbish had overwhelmed them. Their strength had decayed, and they complained that they were not able to carry on as they did before. And in complete and utter despair, they sat down and they lamented. What did they say? These brave men of the tribe of Judah, they said, it can't be done. The devil had got them where he wanted them. The enemies had succeeded. Even if they were never to attack the city, the propaganda of Sambalat and Tobiah and the Ammonites and all of those enemies that were surrounding the wall had put such fear into their heart that they wanted to stop what they were doing. And I think every Christian today should take note that the best of men are only men at the best. The hardest workers at times can become so discouraged that in their heart they want to give up. They believe that it can't be done. And they collapse under the pressures from within and the pressures from without. And they say to their brethren, it can't be done. Perhaps the devil has so discouraged and disheartened you today. Perhaps you're saying, I can't go on any further. I can't go on any more. And you want to opt out. Well, let me assure you that as Judah experienced such discouragement, it's quite natural and normal for others to experience such discouragement as well. How many, I think, have been so discouraged through COVID-19 and all that has come down the track because of it, that they have become so downcast that they have given up. They've given up. They've given up on the building of the walls of Jerusalem again. They've given up. But I want you to take heart today. Don't give up, take heart. Because God has provided a way to overcome discouragement. I want you to notice here that discouragement spreads like wildfire. Because in verse 12 we read, it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, this said unto us 10 times. So these other Jews who mingled with the tribe of Judah and those who lived near the enemies, they heard what they said. They heard their propaganda. And you know, once you hear the devil's lie once, and once you hear it twice and 3 times, you begin to believe it. And you begin to believe that greater is he that is in the world than he that is in you. Rather than the other way around, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Let us never believe for one moment that the devil is greater than the powers of Christ and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these Jews, they came to Nehemiah 10 times. They were in his ear. They were unrelenting. Fear had so gripped their heart that they couldn't talk about anything else. It had just gripped them. And that is what has happened today. People can't talk about anything else other than COVID-19 and their fear of it and their trepidation of it. It has become the national preoccupation. I understand why. But for Christians, we ought not to allow the fear of what's going on in the world to so cloud our judgments, to so cow us down, that we begin to be so discouraged in the work of God that we would want even to give up. 10 times. 10 times they came to Nehemiah. It can't be done. It takes a brave man to continue building when all around him tell him to stop. It takes someone who's going against the tide to say it can be done. And even to say it can be done when your very life is in jeopardy. You know, sometimes we have to continue. We have to continue even when we're all alone. You might be alone, isolated in your family, and you feel it so much at this present time. And you might even be isolating. You might be amongst those who are categorized as vulnerable, and you have to self-isolate because of this COVID-19, and you do feel isolated and you do feel alone. But let me encourage you today, you can continue. You can continue to serve God. You can continue to worship God. You can continue even despite the fear and the trepidation of others all around about you. Oh, may God give to us a courage in the day of adversity, even a encouragement, even when discouragement sets in. Secondly, notice from this chapter the causes of discouragement. Look at verse 10. We find here that physical weakness is one important factor to note. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. The word means actually to totter or to waver. And I think we get the picture in our mind very vividly here. These are the men who have been carrying the rubbish. They've been carrying the burden. And the burden had weakened them. Even weakened their legs right down to their ankles. And those who bore the burden, they started to stumble. They started to falter. They started to faint. They started to fall. And it's no wonder, because they had grown physically tired and they were exhausted. They had been working all day on the wall, and then they had been guarding the wall in night shifts during the hours of darkness, active during the day, awake during the night. It's no small wonder that their legs felt weak and they were getting sore. And also, they were at the halfway stage of the project. And we know that the halfway stage is always the most dangerous stage of any project for the Lord. Or indeed, I would say, any endeavor for the Lord. When the newness has worn off, when the novelty has worn off, and when the routine starts to grit on us. Carrying the stones away, bringing the new stones, putting them in place day after day, hard labor. There's a warning note here. And it simply is this, that you and I physically cannot burn the candle at both ends. And something has to give. And sometimes when your physical strength gives, then the inevitable happens. And spiritually, and within your own heart, you feel powerless in the work. In the work that you're doing. And that can be in your own home, your own family, your own business, your own employment, whatever that work is today. And this is something to watch carefully against, because physical and mental fatigue can quickly lead to discouragement, so much so that you will sit down under that juniper tree like Elijah of old, and you'll wish that you could die. Lack of vision also is another cause of discouragement. In verse 10, it is very clear that Judah had his eyes upon the rubbish that they had to clear. The word means the clay, the earth, the mortar, the building site debris, which they had to spend so much time in clearing, and yet there was still so much more work to be done. Sometimes you have to clear away the debris in order to get at the work. And there was just so much of the stuff, they seemingly couldn't make headway on it. It had lain there for years, for decades. And now these men had come back and they had to clear it away in order to build up. And sometimes we have to clear away the rubbish in order to build up. And one of the hardest jobs in any project is not just laying the bricks, it's removing the rubbish which accumulates to enable you to continue in the work. And it is important when doing those menial tasks, clearing away the rubbish, to remember the finished objective that is ever before you. To remember the whole project, not just part of the project, but all of the project. To always keep the bigger picture in mind. Maybe your part and my part in the work of God, it just seems at the moment so cluttered with the rubbish, so cluttered with the debris, that we think we can't even get at the work. And sometimes I feel like that during this lockdown, where we're at a distance from people. We can't evangelize as once we did. We can't do the work of God as once we did. We're at a great distance from it, even more than an arm's length from it. And there is a certain routine of every day, and one day seems just to morph into another day. But you and I, we need to get our vision on the finished goal once again. Just don't focus on where you are at present. Just don't focus on all of the rubbish that prevents you getting even to the putting the stones in place, the bricks in their proper order, getting on with the work. You'll never be able to do the work until all of this other work is cleared and that it is gone. Losing heart in the work of God is another cause of discouragement. They were halfway up the wall, and the rest of it just seemed insurmountable. They had forgotten where they had come from. They had forgotten that they had already done so much just in approximately maybe 1 month of time. But they looked at the other half that remained, and they said it just couldn't be done. And they cried out in despair, "We're not able. They're not able." We read in verse 6, "So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." It's interesting to look at that word for mind. It literally means the heart. The people had a heart to work. Their heart was in the work. And thus they got it up halfway. And now in verse 10, it seems that they were losing heart in the work. Now, of course, there are many different factors that cause people to lose heart in the work of God. But the result is always the same. They feel overwhelmed and so discouraged that they feel that they'll never be able to start. They'll never be able to finish what they've started. Sometimes people get hurt in the work of God. Sadly so. As Christians, oftentimes, we're not a good reflection of the gentle shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes a harsh, abrasive word can discourage a tender-hearted spirit. Sometimes people are wrongly accused. Sometimes people are misunderstood and their motives are misunderstood. Yes. And I know all of those things can cause people to lose heart in the work of God. And even when external circumstances, and all of these external circumstances connected with the all of the social distancing, the mitigations and everything else that goes with the coronavirus and COVID-19 are enforced upon us from outside. Even those external pressures, sometimes they just cause people to, as it were, throw the head and to give up. But I would encourage you today to look where you've come from, to look at the wall that has been built. You're halfway up. Look at the other half. It can be done. Don't allow the devil to tell you it can't be done. Here and on along over these past years, we have seen physically a lot being done. We have seen this new building put up. We have seen the new manse put up. We have agreed in committee to proceed with a new hall at the back of the church building. Let us not allow discouragement to set in. We have a work to do. I believe that new suite of halls at the back of the building is our investment for the next generation. The generation before us, when I came here, we had a lot of dear older saints, and they are all gone. They have all been called to glory, but they invested in our generation. And now we have to invest in the next generation. And we want to invest, and to do that we have to guard our hearts carefully and to make sure that we don't give up, because if we give up, they will suffer. And that we haven't done our work. We haven't finished our part of the wall. You and I have a part of the wall to finish. And we have to stay at that part of the wall until our part is complete. Losing sense of security is also another cause of discouragement. We read in verse 11 that the adversary said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them." What an insinuation here was put out. These men now had to labour, not knowing, because the propaganda of the enemy was voiced abroad, it was talked about amongst the people. The enemy's going to come upon us at any time and we will not know. And the people who were building the wall, they felt vulnerable. They felt no longer in the control. And the devil uses this old ploy to unnerve us and to make us lose our sense of security. And those who lose their sense of security, they lose their sense of well-being and they become discouraged and inevitably they give up. And now there are many things in the pattern of life, in the journey of life, that we lose, that sometimes makes us feel insecure. We lose a loved one, someone that's close and dear to us, someone that we've looked to all our life's journey, and they've been taken by the icy hand of death. We've lost a loved one. We've lost maybe familiar surroundings. Others have moved away. They've moved to take up employment in other places, and sometimes even the loss of income, the loss of employment, the loss of all of those things that are familiar to us mean that our sense of security is lost, and discouragement quickly sets in. Sometimes, however, God overrules our loss of security and enables us to rise higher. He takes away what is familiar to us to launch us out into the deep with Him. We have to go further than we've ever gone before in order to prove the Lord and to experience new heights and depths of fellowship with the Lord. Don't just weigh yourself to what you know, to so, as it were, weld yourself to what you know, because God has things unknown that He wants to reveal to you, and new blessings and new experiences to reveal to you. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he recorded the following. He said, before any great achievement, some measure of depression is usual. And such was my experience when I first became a pastor in London. Who was I that I should continue to lead so great a multitude? I would betake me to a village obscurity, or emigrate to America, and find a solitary nest in the backwoods where I might be sufficient for the things that were demanded of me. It was just then the curtain was rising in my life work, and this depression comes over me whenever the Lord is preparing a larger blessing for my ministry. And maybe that's you today. Maybe the Lord is preparing a larger blessing for your ministry, launching you out into something new and exciting for His great name's sake. Don't leave your part on the wall. Don't lose heart in what you're doing for the Lord. Maybe your confidence is at an all-time low, but just take even note of what the great Pastor Spurgeon said. You might be on the threshold, my brother and sister, of some of your best life's achievements for the Lord. Thirdly, from this passage of Scripture, we learn once again what is the cure for discouragement. Not just the cause, but the cure. When you are discouraged, what do you do? What do you do? Well, the one thing that you must not do, and that is to ignore it. And there are some techniques that Nehemiah employed which we would do well to utilize also. Verse 13 teaches us of the passage that he armed the people. If the enemy was going to attack, then like any good leader, Nehemiah wanted to prepare them for the inevitable. And so, as men built the wall, he set others in defensive mode around the wall, and he distributed the weaponry, the swords, the spears, the bows, so that they might defend their families and the parts of the wall upon which they had to labour upon. And he told them in verse 13 that he set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. In other words, first of all, they were fighting for the very welfare of their family circles. And spiritually, that is so true, my dear brethren and sisters. We are fighting for the spiritual welfare of our own families in the work of God. And this is a time for action. And so we need to arm ourselves. And the only armor that God has given to us is spiritual armor. The Bible teaches us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. The weaponry of man cannot protect you or I from the attack of the devil. It is the armor of God that we need to take onto ourselves that will protect us from our ancient foe. Where's that armor to be found? Ephesians chapter 6. verse 11 to 13. In those introductory verses, Paul outlines what he wants to say. He says, "Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And if you want to stand against the wiles of the devil for your family, for your brethren, for your kinsmen, then you have to put on the whole armour of God. And we put it on by prayer. All those constituent parts, take time to read Ephesians chapter 6 today in your quiet time. The loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it's with these parts of the armour on, and with that sword in hand, the sword of the word of God, that we're called to fight for our families. Don't allow discouragement to overcome your family. As we thought last Lord's Day evening about the responsibility of the head of the home fighting for the family, keeping the family altar intact. So, as leaders of the families, we have been called to fight with the sword of God's Spirit for our families. Verse 14, Nehemiah reassured his people. He reassured them that they had nothing to fear, even though they were surrounded by enemies. Why? Because the Lord was on their side. And it was in the light of this, he said in verse 14, "Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord." And in the midst of all of the discouraging things that are going on in our land today, and even for the cause of Christ in our land today, remember the Lord. Don't forget the Lord, our sovereign Jehovah God. Don't forget him. Romans 8 and 31 mirror these words of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. If God be for us, who can be against us? This is the cure for discouragement. Get your eye on the Lord again today. He has not forgotten you or I in the work of God. I love those words of Ezra 9 and 9, where in the first wave that came back to Jerusalem of those Jews from the captivity, the prophet encouraged them. He said, "The Lord our God has not forsaken us." We have not been forsaken. Let's get back to the wall. Remember the Lord. Let's get back to the building program. Remember the Lord. Let's get back to going on with God. Remember the Lord. In verse 14b, Nehemiah aroused the people. And the rallying cry was, "Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." He brought it right to close quarter with them. These were people that were flesh and blood with them. And nothing could come closer to their hearts. And I want to say to all of God's people listening in today, for the sake of your family, don't give up. For the sake of your son, your daughter, for the sake of your wife, don't give up in the work of God. For the sake of the unsaved family members, unsaved sons and daughters, do not allow discouragement to knock you off the wall or to put you out of the work of God. And as a church family, I think we need to continually rouse ourselves from our spiritual sloth and slumber. The time is running out. The enemies of souls circle us round about, and they wait to destroy them. And if we allow discouragement to put us out of the work of God, then what shall become of them? If you don't fight for your family, who is going to fight for your family? If you don't fight for your church family and put on that spiritual warfare and engage the enemy, who is going to do it? That's what we've been called to do today. In verse 15, Nehemiah applied all of this to the people. And he got the people back to the work. He said, "It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the work, every one unto his work." Isn't that lovely? They returned unto the work. Every one unto his work. Unto his work. Someone back with the sword, someone back with the trial, someone back as the bearers of burdens, someone back with the carriers of water. but they went back to the work. They applied themselves afresh and anew to the work that God had called them to. In Spurgeon's day, he called his church magazine The Sword and the Trial. And I think that best exemplifies our attitude in the work of God. Like these men here in Nehemiah chapter 4, they carried the sword, they carried the trial. They were building, they were defending. They were not just battlers, but they were builders at one and the same time. And I think there's a scriptural balance here. There are people in God's work, they're always battling. They're always fighting some corner, and they're always fighting some cause. But you have to build also if you want those walls to go up. You not only have to carry the sword, you have to carry the trial. We don't want just a negative ministry. We have to be builders who positively build up the walls, who positively build up the people of God. And this objective requires us to be balanced in our approach to the work of God. In verse 19 to 23, we also read how Nehemiah assembled the people on the wall. I think this is wonderful here. The work was large, the people were